Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Winter Olympics are set to open late next week in China. You've seen the visuals, snowy peaks, the frosty breath of figure skaters, bobsledders clapping their hands to stay warm. But a changing climate is making this harder to pull off today and in the future. Here's a snippet from the trailer of our next guest's new book. It tracks the loss of the frozen parts of the globe, known as the cryosphere.
I had spent most of my life in the frozen world, camping beneath sub-zero skies. But I had had no idea about the role the cryosphere played in our own evolution.
Porter Fox is author of that book. It's called The Last Winter: The Scientists, Adventurers, Journeymen, and Mavericks Trying to Save the World. He teaches at Columbia University. Porter Fox, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Now, you come from the ski world, longtime editor of Powder Magazine, and you've been around the world tracking all things winter. So, you know, just quickly on the science and what you've seen firsthand, what do you mean with this alarming phrase, the last winter?
Well, it's pretty simple when you look at it from a global perspective. Obviously, the planet is warming, and when snow or ice gets above 32°F, it starts to melt. And so the actual way that winter is shrinking and the planet's snow and ice is melting is pretty complicated. In what regions are, you know, it's happening faster than others. But overall, you know, just in the U.S., you're seeing winter season lengths that will likely shrink by more than 50%. Some locations, 80% in others, just in the next 30 years. You know, winter warming is tripled. The rate of warming is tripled in the U.S. West since the 1970s. And so really what you see is no snow in October, no snow in November. Now it's starting to come in mid-December. It's kind of eating away this warming at both ends of winter in fall and spring.
Yeah, well, this alarming factoid I read in some of your reporting that in British Columbia, the snow skiing season is already today significantly shorter than it was decades ago. And that gets to, you know, this topic of the Winter Olympics in Beijing. I mean, just to kind of step back on this question, what was required in recent Olympics, Sochi and Vancouver, just to pull it off, to have enough snow to pull it off then?
It's a lot of man-made snow is what's required these days. You know, back in the day, it was held, you know, in regions that were traditionally snowy, which, you know, these are as well. Beijing doesn't really get to the it's sort of advertising that it's the first Olympics made on, you know, that will happen on 100% man-made snow. Well, the reality is that Vancouver in 2010, Sochi in 2014, Pyeongchang in 2018, it was all 100% man-made snow. You know, it was trucked into Vancouver and helicoptered in for weeks just before the start of the Olympics. You know, in Sochi, they stored 500,000 cubic meters of snow from the previous season under tarps and then put man-made snow on top of that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Beijing this time around, help us look forward. 2026 Winter Games will be in the Italian Alps, and bids for 2030 are coming from places like Vancouver, British Columbia. If you think about those places, parts of North America and parts of Europe, what are the big challenges going to be there, you know, as the melting accelerates, as you tell in your stories?
Well, the 2026 Olympics are going to be held actually in a spot that I went to report for this book on. We did a six-day kind of backcountry on-slope tour all the way around the Ladin Valleys, around Cortina, where the Olympics are going to be held. And the point of going there was to document how fast the glaciers there and snow was melting and kind of how devastating it was both on the hill and to all of the farms and vineyards and towns, water districts down below where that water typically flows. So, you know, just the Marmolada Glacier, which really was just the queen of the Dolomites of that Southern Alps range, you know, it shrank by a third and saw its surface area reduced by a fifth in just 11 years between 2004 and 2015.
Wow.
It's just getting worse. I'm sure you saw the research piece that just came out by Dr. Daniel Scott at the University of Waterloo. Mm-hmm. I've reported on him before. He does a study before each Winter Olympics, and this one is particularly rattling, that by the 2080s, you know, of the 21 cities that have hosted the Winter Games in the past, there's only one that will be viable to hold the Winter Olympics again, and that's Sapporo, Japan. Mm.
Now, Porter, this is not just about skiing, as you write about in your book, right? I mean, we have broader existential questions you're asking.
I wrote about skiing and snow a lot, and in the course of reporting this book, I realized like what global ramifications were coming from this melting snow, and kind of traveled around the Northern Hemisphere to document the melting ice caps, really started to write about this insane statistic that so much snow has melted from the poles on this planet that the rotational axis of Earth has shifted. That was shocking to me, to think of that level of change. You know, other effects are snow and ice represents drinking water for 2 billion people around the world, their primary source of fresh water. It covers and keeps cold and frozen about 9 million square miles of permafrost, which has been in the news recently, that, you know, if that were to melt and thaw, you're looking at more than a billion tons of greenhouse gases escaping from Arctic Canada and Siberia, where most of this permafrost is. You know, melting glaciers and ice caps and snow, it's the primary driver of sea level rise. It's two-thirds of sea level rise. And we could be looking at, you know, up to 7.5 feet of sea level rise in the next 80 years just because this snow and ice is melting. And, you know, Dr. Scott points out something, you know, hopeful, actually, and very powerful, that if we were to follow the Paris Agreement low emission standards, you know, things could potentially stay pretty much the same as they are now. You know, you can't reverse this melting, and a lot of it is baked in. But we can avoid a lot of the massive melt scenarios that we're looking at in the future if we could stick to that Paris Agreement.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, some of the emissions already there stay there for centuries, if not forever.
Absolutely.
Finally, let me ask you about your recent book. The last winter, you dedicated it to your daughter, Gray, obviously for the next generation. And I wonder if there is... If and when you talk to your daughter about this, is there one story, one thing you have seen, one tale that you tell her that perhaps you want your daughter to tell her children that captures, this is what I've seen, that's a clue to our future?
I tell her about growing up in northern Maine and skating as soon as the ice reached from shore to shore and getting out the cross-country skis on the first snowfall and waxing my skis and sharpening my edges and going up to the hill all winter long. I mean, this was 6 months of the year back then when we really engaged with winter. And when we engaged with winter, it was this very powerful communion with nature. It was this really, it's not the same in other seasons for me anyway. You're out there, you're usually alone, there's very few people. And it is you and the forces of nature. You've got to bundle up the right way or put on a pair of backcountry skis and ski up into this virgin snowfall up a 13,000-foot peak out in Wyoming where I used to live and just look around at that kind of morning scene. And it's undeniably the most pristine natural setting I've ever seen. And I tell her a lot about that. She's 3.5. She doesn't comprehend all of it.
Yeah.
And I spend most of my days now with her skiing between my skis, trying to learn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a future that, as you're saying, is going to likely or potentially look quite different for her.
Absolutely.
Porter Fox is a journalist who teaches at Columbia University, and his new book is The Last Winter, The Scientists, Adventures, Journeymen, and Mavericks Trying to Save the World. Porter Fox, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Be well.